Blog Talk Radio.
Taking the time out tonight, wherever you're at worldwide, if it's in the morning, good morning to you. If it is in the evening time, good evening. We're here because Roar Awakening is all about revealing our authoritative role in the earth. We're here to unleash the roar and awake the captives worldwide. That is the ministry. That is the mandate. That is what God wants to do. He said, you know, he would send us out with power and authority and with the ability this season. This is what the Lord wants us to do, is take the airwaves captive. Amen. The Lord wants us to take the airwaves captive and utilize every device, every ability to preach and minister the word of God and encourage people, equip people, and launch them into their destiny, positioning the bride and where we are supposed to be in this current age and time. you know, before I even want to get into the message, I just wanted to encourage you guys about, you know, everything that has been going on around the world. You know, God is definitely in control and moving and positioning his people in such a quick way. And I just want to tell you, tonight is going to be an explosive night. So you you're going to want to get somebody else in this. Share the number of getting, you know, being able to come in and listen to this broadcast. You're going to want to buckle up, because I got a message. Deliver us from evil. The Lord has been dealing with the world in a fascinating way, and by no means God is judging us, but by no means is he not using this to position the bride. By no means God is judging us, but by no means is he not utilizing this and turning it around for his glory. And the Lord was positioning me in a place of prayer a couple nights ago. You know, there was an encounter as the Lord has been dealing with me. I've been transitioning. I'm now locally, I'm now in Pineville, Louisiana, as the Lord has beginning to stretch out my tent pegs in ministry. There is a multiplication of life and what God is doing in my life, and it's amazing. It's beautiful, and I can't wait to share even more as that comes, more updates as it comes. But today, the Lord has positioned my heart to pray. God woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning with on the 17th of 2020, 2 o'clock in the morning, and he said, I want you to watch and pray. And it reminded me of in the times where Jesus would take the disciples with him, in the time that he knew it was positioning him in a place, in an era where he was discovering what his next plans were. When he began to speak to the Father, he didn't strive, he didn't cry, he didn't try to figure everything out. He simply asked the Father what was next for him. And in this, Jesus was mimicking what the Father was doing and taught him, and he was showing the disciples how to live in times of crisis, in times of need. I don't know about you, when I look around in the world, I see there's a time of crisis that have forgotten Christ. This is a time and age where we have looked to the crisis and not to the cross. This is a day and era where we have looked to the coronavirus but not preached Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you today that God has given me a word, not just for the nation of America, but for the entirety of the world. Our hearts have been crying out, deliver us from evil. We're afraid. People are living in a place of faith, being afraid and terrified. But God, what is God? Can I be telling you, maybe God is in a place, in a position where he's asking us, are you ready to be delivered from evil? Are you ready to live a life worth living that reflects my image? And I'm going to talk about what deliverance really looks like. You know, how did this even start? Where did it all come from? People point their fingers to nation, to another nation, and to people and politics and war and all these things. But the nature of it is that it's wicked and it's vile and it's evil. And that nature only came from the source of man, not God. So when we talk about this crisis and not minister Christ, we're not thinking about deliverance. We're not thinking about being delivered from our evil thoughts. We're not talking, we're not listening to how the Lord wants to deal with our hearts or the present evil world that we're living in. or maybe the even evil speaking that utters out of our mouth, or the evil deeds or the works that we have been committing, or the evil communication between brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Maybe just the appearance of evil itself that you have attached yourself to. Yes, deliver us from evil, Lord. You know, we wonder why in a state that we're in, I'm not blaming anybody of crisis, but I'm going to blame simply our churches and the pastors and people that are a part of the congregations, that when we have subsided and we have subtracted Christ and we put just the church, you know, we were preaching Jesus once, but now we're no longer preaching Jesus. We're just talking about the church. We're just talking about who we are. And there's just something different about this, that why Jesus actually came to the churches and he threatened them to put out their flame, to snuff out who they were, because they were not close to him. They were not resembling him. They were not replicating him. Because there was a manner of evil that was on the earth in the hearts of churches. Listen to me carefully. That was not taken care of. And I'm telling you that, yes, we're having an awakening. Yes, we're having revival. Yes, we're going to see healing signs, wonders, miracles, speaking in new tongues, the angelic, all of it. The glory fire is coming. And I'm not going to stop preaching those things. But if we cannot get back to the place of the cross and Jesus Christ in the church and seeing salvations won to the Lord on a daily basis, then we were not going to see the glory. We're not going to see the fire, because we have decided to compromise our message for our own self-worth. And we need to be delivered from this mindset. It's not about us. It's not about what our messages are. It's not about those things. It's about the message of Jesus Christ. It's about the original gospel of Jesus Christ. It needs to be founded. Every word that comes out of our mouth needs to be founded on the word of God. You see, when we preach only for the word, you can guarantee a fold that comes back. You can guarantee a word that is going to come forth. You can guarantee fruit that's going to mount, it's going to multiply. You can guarantee that it's going to resemble the word in his image. But when you speak from a place of ignorance or arrogance, you can guarantee that there's an evil manner inside. And God is trying to work inside of the church this season. Judgment will not come to the earth until before the judgment comes to the church. It's time to wake up. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The church needs reformation. The church needs a do-over. And I believe God is utilizing this time to actually reset and reform the bride. It's actually a time for we to actually see who is a part of the faith and who is going to fall away. And that might be hard to hear, but listen, we're in an age where we need to know who we can respond to, who we can rely in, and we need to know who we can pray for. We need to know who's really sick and who's really healed. We need to know who's really needing our help and who we can rely upon. We need to know what kind of pastors that we're going to follow. We need to know who we're going to stand up for. We need to know who we're partnering with, and we need to know who we cannot partner with. This is a vital time in history for the church. And I say this not because I'm big. I'm saying this because of what I've observed in the churches. I'm saying this because the Spirit of God has shown me things that other people have not seen, and I have been able to witness things that I never knew about. But now, because I understand what age we're in and what God has called me to do, it's time to shake the bars off of the church. We need to break the walls and divisions out of the church, and we need to see more Christians in the streets more than ever. I don't care if you're an apostle. I don't care if you're a shepherd. I don't care if you're an evangelist or a prophet. I don't care if you're a teacher. We need to be in the streets. We need to be in the marketplaces. We need to seize the opportunity and seize the moment for the days to come. We need to make sure that we are working out our own salvation on a daily basis, and we need to recognize the opportunity to sow the seed into the souls, to reap a harvest before we step into a place of a pulpit and see that we want to see our church grow. Forget the church growth. Are we growing and building the kingdom of God? That, by the way, is invisible, but it's tangible as God builds it. I have a word for most people who are operating out of a sense of falsehood for churches. If God does not build the house, the labor is in vain. Hallelujah. There is an act of liberating and rescuing someone this season. God wants to begin to deliver us from the evil in the world, but he wants to deal with us. God wants to deal with us. When we come under the covenant of Jesus Christ, under the blood, there are seven things that God gives us. And I want to give them to you quickly. So if you do have your Bibles, I'm going to be giving you a few scriptures. And if not, then I want you to write these scriptures down and go back. Anything that I say, I want you to recognize. I want you to follow along with me. I don't really have a prophetic word. I really am just teaching and laying foundation as to where I believe the Lord is directing our souls tonight. We need to be conscious of the things that the Lord will not put in our way. It says that the Lord would not lead us into temptation. But do we not see that the world leads us into such wickedness in a time like this? But the prayer that Jesus Christ was giving while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, deliver me from evil. To lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And sometimes we need to recognize that God is delivering us from ourselves. God is resetting some things in our lives. And we might look at the crisis, but are we looking at the cross? What kind of perspective are we looking at today, guys? There's many things that could happen because of this crisis in our lives, but there's only one thing that I know for certain. If we're hugging the foot of Jesus and we're at the foot of the cross, that we will only see one thing while everything falls away, and that is he, the Son of the living God, come back as he left. And isn't that all that matters? At the end of it all, no matter what you do, no matter who you become in this world, isn't that all that matters? I'm going to give you a few of these right now. I call this a sevenfold deliverance for which God has given us. He's delivered us from the curse of a broken law. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Deliverance is the act of liberation, rescuing, okay? Liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free. There's freedom, liberation, freedom. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, there's no longer a reason to feel that we, you know, we have to live a life or claim curses in our life. There's no longer a reason why we should think curse-like mindsets. Claiming a mindset, claiming a curse, claiming generational curses, all of this is old covenant behavior. It's gibberish talk to the king. When God delivered you from all manners of evil, he is simply saying that you are a new creation. You must renew your mind on a daily basis. That if you think that you are a curse, the word of God says, so a man thinketh he shall become. If you have become a new creation but think that you are a curse, are you free or are you a curse? This is false teaching that the church is laying in the and wickedness with this teaching, unfortunately. Listen, God delivered us from the condemnation of sin. Romans 8:1-3. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemning sin in the flesh. We need to know that we don't have to feel ashamed or condemned, but correction and restoration is needed for the bride. Correction and restoration is needed for the bride. Reset. It is time to see and look at the church at a unit. I'm not talking about just a few churches. Listen, if one is sick, we're all sick. If the body of Christ is being looked at in the world and they say they are even afraid, then how are we going to save? How are we going to bring the glory? How are we going to heal manners of sickness? How are we going to explain angelic encounters? And how are we going to defeat the evil that's upon this world when we ourselves are acting like we don't even know Jesus himself? We need to know that correction and restoration for the bride is needed, especially when there's a church that particularly partakes of sin over and over again. For all my church leaders and all your pastors and overseers, apostles and prophets, your people that are, that you know, walking in continual sin, why not put them down, let them sit down and give them correction as needed, and continue to carry out the call that God has given you, instead of allowing things and compromising and allowing new voices and allowing new people the time to rise up and be who they are? Sometimes we need to look at what God is doing in the person. Maybe we need to rest some of our warriors. Maybe we need to sit some people down. Maybe we need to change our lineup. Maybe we need to get new people in order. Maybe some people need to come down, and it's okay. I know this is a heavy word to hear from some people, but this is just truth. This is just what God is putting on my heart, because we're sitting in a place where we could be making history, but we're watching it go by. This is not a time for Christians to wonder, should we do this or that? It's what is God telling you to do? What is God giving you to do? And how are you going to spend your inheritance on this earth? And how are the signs and wonders are going to follow you? We need to be turning over cities right now that are affected. We need leaders and teams that are going out into the city and laying hands on the sick and going into the hospitals and sending the hospitals in a frantic, because they don't even know what's going on, because they're saying, don't touch them, and we touch them and they're healed. And the doctors scratch their heads. Nurses go home. Because there's no longer a reason for sickness to be even in the midst of them, because there's a greater power and a glory and a unified body. But all I'm trying to get across to every person in the body of Christ is if one is sick, we're all sick. And God is dealing with the church and their sin, even the unbelief and fear. We need to know that God has given us a choice. A choice to walk in freedom, not only to live free from our lives, but also to live in a place of freedom from sin and we can serve righteousness. We've been delivered from the servitude of sin. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, you can become the servants of righteousness. That we've been, listen, number four is that we've been delivered from the evil in the world. Evil may come into the world, but evil cannot come into and govern the church unless you allow it, unless you be entertained by it, unless you have something inside, unless something is coming on, unless you entangle yourself again with it. What kind of message are we sending ourselves? Are we allowing ourselves to be lukewarm, straight up, or are we putting ourselves in a position to be sold out for Jesus Christ? Delivering us from evil is not so much in looking at the world and saying the world is evil. If the world is resembling evil and the church is in charge, then where are they getting the idea of evil from? Why isn't evil changed? Like, why isn't the perspective of the world changed? If Jesus said that greater works we do, and we have all power and authority to tramp upon the serpents and scorpions, then why is there still evil in the world? It's not that we're not working hard enough. It's not that we're not working smart enough. It's that we're partaking of sin and not looking at it and not dealing with it. And that is the issue as to why we keep falling into faithlessness. No matter where you're at in your walk, there's something in your life that may be hindering you. There might be issues in your life where you don't understand how you can get through this next situation. You might be dealing with an issue of faith. You might be dealing with an issue that's overpowering you. You might be dealing with an issue of illness and sickness. Whatever it might be, God is not upset with you. He's dealing with you. He's correcting it. He's bringing you in an adventure that you are able to grow and mature. He gives you power over darkness. Colossians 1:13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The power of fear is meant to terrify you guys. Listen, we've been delivered over the power of fear of death. Listen, the one major gift that God gave us was his word, the blood, and that we love our lives not unto death. Hebrews 2:15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all of their life subject to bondage. God is delivering people from fear. This crisis that people can't stop talking about. I wish Jesus Christ was as famous as this crisis that's being spoken about over the airwaves. I wish that Jesus Christ was mentioned as many times as that C word that is mentioned on a daily basis. But you see, here's the issue. Even though Jesus has been spoken about more times than the crisis that you're hearing, the image of Christ, the image of Jesus have been obscured by the church because there's sin that cannot be dealt with because we're hiding behind our fig leaves and we're hiding from God, and that's why revival has not happened. We need to stop blaming it on crisis. We need to stop blaming it on government. We need to stop blaming it on other people and other nations and other wars. Why revival has not come? Revival has not come because of a prophetic timeline, and God is dealing with the Gentile church. He's dealing with his people. We're all one nation. We're all in one place, people, but God is still dealing with the fullness of the Gentiles right now. That the gospel of Jesus Christ goes to the four corners of the earth, that all might come. And we're stuck in the church sinning. I said it. We need to be delivered from evil. We need a place of prayer and intercession. We need to return back to our first love. We need to go back to the fundamentals of God. We need to get on our face and start weeping before the Lord, not for other people, but for our own sake. And then, maybe after we have started for ourselves, we can then develop the relationships that God has wanted us to have this entire time. And then maybe we'll be bold enough to evangelize to our neighborhoods. Maybe then there will be people in the community, in the facilities and places like hospitals. Maybe then we'll see the opportunity and seize it. Maybe then we'll see that malls are really a good place to pray and love on people instead of just shop and watch sinners go by. Maybe then we'll see that just what we have is actually giving us the opportunity to love every person that walks our way. Maybe then, once we start back to the foundations, that we would repent and get away from our evil deeds. Maybe then God would heal our lands. Maybe then we could breathe again. Maybe then we'll see each other from a perfect lens. Maybe then we'll see what God has had in store for us this entire time. I'm tired of hearing people talk about revival when they don't live a personal revival on a daily basis. They don't speak with God. They don't pray for other people. They don't fast. They don't study the Word. They don't have foundational lifestyles that resemble the kingdom culture that Jesus have left. But yet they're constantly posting about things on Facebook and other social media platforms so that they are seen and heard as prophetic voices and apostolic leaders and this and that, but there's no longer a love for repentance. There's no longer a love for growth. And that is fearful in the eyes of the generation that is rising before us. What are we teaching our generation? What are we teaching this generation and the generation behind us? I'm commanding Joshuas to rise up with a standard in their culture of the kingdom and bring a generation to rise up and be studying the Word of God and fasting and praying and weeping for people across the world. We need to get back to the foundations of who we are. Once upon a time, we heard about how America was great because of the nation that we were, not because of war, not because of an economy, but because churches were filled and it was praying and it was utilized as an evangelical nation. God has given us deliverance from ourselves. It's not about us. We need to get over ourselves. We need to die daily, stay focused, and share the truth. And Matthew 6:13, the subject of prayer was introduced. And the key verse that I want to talk about and expound on is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to be delivered from the evil conscience. Hebrews 10:22, that by the application of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Stop. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God wants us to be enamored with the Holy Spirit. God wants clean hands and a pure heart to come to the body, to come to the mountain of Zion with a mouth that would release a roar, that knowing your role and knowing your authority, knowing who you are, knowing your position, knowing your marching orders, and not looking to the left nor to the right, but looking forward and marching like a good soldier of Jesus Christ with your prophetic words. You're walking out your destiny. God wants you to know today that you are a legend in heaven, but it requires you walking it out in this earth. It requires you to walk it out. Sacrificing what you think is good. Sacrificing what you think is your life. Many do not understand. Some of us have had to sacrifice things that you would never believe. Some of us that are not famous for being preachers, but we're famous for who we are and our character. We're famous for the passion and the zeal for Jesus Christ. We're remembered by what we say and what we do. We'll never be famous behind a TV screen or because of a big church. But we are famous in heaven because of what we do, walk out by faith. We need to get away from the evil mindset. It sears our conscience from learning and growing, people of God. This is how the enemy attacks the maturity of the bride. This is how the kingdom of heaven is hindered, because it's supposed to be at hand. But as long as we're no longer repentant, then our minds are no longer able to be renewed by the word of God. Then the blood and the flesh is the way of communion, that it's in vain, because when we try to follow Christ, it means to partake of his salvation as a word. But if we're walking and trampling the blood of Jesus Christ and we're not taking and partaking of the word of God, then what are we doing? What are you here for, people of God? You're listening to Roar Awakening, revealing our authoritative role in the earth. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening, because we are revealing who we are, our authoritative role in the earth. We are king's kids. We're ambassadors. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are prophets. Some of you are apostles. Some of you are shepherds. Some of you are evangelists. But all of you have been given a measure of faith. All of you have been given the glory. All of you have heard the word of the Lord. All of you have the ability to tread upon serpents and scorpions. All of you. What would it look like with a unified bride? What would it look like if the nations came into one voice? What if all of us at one time would lift up our voice and sing hallelujah? What if at one point in all the earth, a voice, a mighty roar was unleashed against every crisis and every lie that the enemy has sown into the ground? And what if all of us just released a sound of roar, a sound of revelation, a sound of vigor, a sound of revelation and love, that we would lay our lives down, no longer worried about a crown, but worried about the cross and being preached to set captives free? What would it look like if a church, a bride, would all sound the same? God is delivering us in this hour of the evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3:12 says, "But by unwavering faith in God's word, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and in departing from the living God." In the latter days, it is written that there will be many that walk away and fall from the faith. You know how that happens? Because the heart was never dealt with. It ties into the scripture that there's a church, there's a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. Because in the root of it all, in the center of it all, through the foundation of it all, there's still wickedness inside of it. There's still unbelief inside of it. Therefore, the full potential, the Godhead bodily, is not inside of the church. I know this is rough. I know this is not easy. But God does not desire for us to be lukewarm. If there's anything that's making him sick right now, it's not the coronavirus. It is this illness that is making him sick, and it's the lukewarmness in people's hearts and minds. Not the coronavirus. Not crises and wars across the globe. What's making him sick is that he left us instructions that we're neglecting. Yeramba kusha tarake sete de bashoto. You know, he's delivering us. He delivers us from the present evil world. You know, the living purpose of Christ that when he died for us, who gave himself for us as sin, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of our Father. Galatians 1:4. It doesn't matter what's happening in this world right now, guys. It doesn't matter what's happening. You've been delivered from those things. None of those things affect you if it is a time and season where you are taken over or are given, where the Bible says this, where you perish when you are absent of the earth or of the world, you are present with the Lord. Somebody has to understand that if we're in the presence of an evil world and the presence of the living God is inside of us, then why are we still acting? Why are we hiding? Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil speaking. Ephesians 4:31. Deliver us from evil speaking by enabling us to speak the truth and love. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I cannot stress this enough. If there's one reason why people don't believe in the church and that there is a form of godliness but no power, it's because of church folk that won't shut their mouths. They have no honor and they do not know how to speak to people who are weak of faith. They need somebody to understand them and shelter them and cover them and love them and then not talk about them. What about people that are just entering into the church and they're just trying to get their souls wet? They're just trying to get their knees wet and we're trying to baptize them and next thing you know, we're talking about them. This evil speaking in the church, this evil thing, this tongue that's in the body. I'm not talking about people in general. I'm talking about the church. We are one body, one faith that serves one God. And I'm talking to the bride. I'm talking about the church of the living God. I'm talking about the church worldwide. Hear me out. The evil speaking has to cease. Cease fire. Cease fire. Many people are in bitterness and talking. All you hear about is talking about each other, but no one is speaking to the situation. Nobody's praying for people, but they're talking in ill content because one person wants to be right and one person has to defend themselves. That's strife and envy, guys. God wants us. God's not leading us into temptation, but he's delivering us from evil. We need to come away from the temptations, and we need to step into the place where God begins to deliver the church again. Some of us are so prideful. Some of the bridesmen and some of the women and men of God who are in places that are high are dealing with sin, but if the church really knew what they were dealing with, they would not follow them anymore. Listen to me very carefully. The church itself needs to be purged. The sins of the world is not our responsibility. The sins of the world were taken on by one man. That name is Jesus Christ. The souls of man are our responsibility. And if we cannot reflect the image of Jesus Christ, we could never accomplish greater works than you'll do, like Jesus said. We need to get back to holiness. We need to get back to a boldness. And I'm not saying that we don't need to focus on gifts. I'm not saying that we shouldn't operate in the prophetic. I'm saying that we should be able to prophesy and live out our lives in the supernatural gifts, but be holy, honor people, speak truth, and love your neighbor. Your gifts are great, but without repentance, there's no power. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil work. 2 Timothy 4:18, by leading us into the Spirit that abound in every good work. God, we want to be known for our good works on the earth. God, we want to be known, not that works save us, but that we want to be known by our legacy of great works, because greater is He who is in us than He is in this world. Hallelujah. The Scripture says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're delivered from every evil work. We need to stop looking at our evil deeds by cutting them off. We need to stop focusing on the evil deeds that people have done to us. Forgive them. And if they're in leadership, they need to be corrected and bring restoration. And if it's of the world, we need to expose it and preserve people and bring them out of the world and into the church, into the refuge of God. But we don't need to focus on every evil thing. We need to focus on the souls that are affected by the evil thing. God will overcome the evil thing if you focus on loving the person that God is putting in your way. I'm almost finished, guys. Father, we just thank you right now, God. Lord, deliver us from every communication, God, by heart fellowship with Christ and those who are His, God. Let us not fellowship with darkness. Deliver us from evil, God. Let us not focus ourselves on this crisis, but focus on Christ, who is the deliverer of our souls. And as Christ has positioned us to be deliverers, He has given us the ability to deliver the Word of God that will deliver us to a new kingdom, that deliver us a new power. We are messengers of God. We need to take ourselves more seriously. Yes, we are citizens in this nation and worldwide, but you are first a son of God or a woman or a daughter of God, and you are a citizen of heaven. You've been given rights and authority in heavenly places. It is time, church, it is time, church, to rise. It is time to see yourself with fire in your eyes. It is time to no longer let things inside of your life that depicts the image of the enemy, but begins to reflect who you are as God has created you. Sons and daughters, do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Hallelujah. Deliver us from all appearances of evil. Listen, people of God. I'm not telling you that you can't wear something. I'm not telling you you can't watch something. But I'm telling you that if it is not approved by the Spirit of God, if it appears a certain way, especially in public places, listen to me very carefully. You can be in the privacy of your home and it's approved by God to do things or live a certain way by teaching your kids how to live or watching, you know, something on TV. I'm not telling you not to watch your TV. I'm not telling you not to listen to a music station or whatever. I'm not telling you to be religious. I'm telling you to be spiritual minded. To consider God in all your communications, to consider God in all of your activities. That's wisdom, not religion. That's relationship, not restrictions. People say it's legalism. Listen, you don't, if you want to be holy, live a life that resembles the image of Jesus Christ. You want to live holy, you then step away from sin and press into the deliverer. The deliverer is the blood and Jesus, the word of God, the blood of Jesus and the flesh. Begin to commune with him daily. And I tell you, the power of the living God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the fire, the Son and the Holy Spirit is going to come and invade your life. No longer will you think a certain way, and no longer will you walk a certain way. But God will give you a new power and authority to tread upon the serpents and scorpions in your season. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what kind of pet sin it is. We need to get it right. We need to get it right. He says, all appearances of evil. He says, abstain from all appearances of evil. Appearances from evil. That Christ may honor. Guys, I want you guys to realize that I'm doing my best not to feel bad for saying the things that God is telling me to say. But the word of the Lord is telling us that he's delivering us from evil. Delivering us from evil. When we turn our backs on sin, God will heal our land again. When we begin to go to the throne room of God and we hate sin like he does, God will move again. Many of us have been crying out for revival, but we haven't been crying out for a sinless nation. And some of you might be thinking, well, we'll always have a sinless nation. We're always going to have sin. We're always going to live in some sort of sin. Lies. Work out your own salvation on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. Time is short, whether you know it, whether you believe it or not. I want you guys to understand that I love you guys so much that as I'm traveled, that as I continue to travel, that as I minister and then as I write and I'm opening up a business and as I'm ministering and as I'm releasing an academy to reach the prisons and to build manuals for the church and to write commentary, God wants you guys to realize how powerful you are. But what stops us is living a life of conclusive to the power and to the glory. And if we don't tap into the power and the glory, if we don't meet him on a daily basis, if we don't set up a place where we can have the presence abide in our bodies, in our life, then how are we expecting to walk in such power and authority when the time comes, when darkness comes over the land? Or do I need to present the scriptures of Jesus when he said that when he comes back, it'll be like as if there was no man that had any faith? That he even said that the hearts of man will fail for what they see come upon the earth. That in the latter days there will be wars and rumors of war, but it won't happen. That doesn't mean that he's coming. Listen, it means that there's an opportunity for us to go closer to him and to walk in our authority and power. The hell with the devil, man. The enemy is trying to get us to agree to a compromising, Jezebelic, behavioral kingdom where we're stripped from our placement, where we're stripped, where we're no longer to produce the likeness and character of who we were created for. Why? Because when we compromise, we are castrated by an anarchist, a manipulator, and a liar. And the word of God says a self-proclaimed prophetess, a person who speaks as if they are of God, but declares things to be of murder, malice, and false witnessing and false prophecy. And we see this in the church. I won't name names. I'm not going to say anything about people. I'm saying in the church, in the body, altogether, it's there. And God says we need to deal with this first. It's time to cleanse the land. It's time for the word of God to be established in America again. It's time for the word of God to be established internationally again. It is time for people like us to be heard again. And we don't need major pulpits. We don't need those kind of things. All we need is the favor of God to carry out our glory, to carry out our mission, to carry out what God has called us to do. It is about obedience. It is about hearing the word of God. It is about carrying out the word. I want to encourage you guys tonight. This is a season. God's not playing. We need to stop playing church. I think most of the church has gotten comfortable, guys. Comfortable with the platforms, comfortable with Facebook, comfortable with YouTube, comfortable with all these things. What if in a blink of an eye, all of it is taken away? Your neighbors and your community is your harvest. Are you prepared? Are you ready? What if illnesses and all manners of evil come your way? Are you going to stand in faith? Or are you going to walk away? Father, deliver us from every evil thing. God, take us to a place, God. God, take us into your glory, God. Where all manners of evil in our mind, in our heart, and in our deeds, God, are stripped away from us. We come to you as a body. We don't come to you individually. God, we come and we intercede for the entire body of Christ, God. We pray for the children, the generations that are coming, that are seeing an image of the body that doesn't resemble you, God. We repent of our wicked ways, Lord. Change these circumstances. Heal our land, God. Take these things that are coming upon the earth and deal with them, God. Give us an opportunity, God, to redeem ourselves. Your word says that you would redeem the time, God, that you would take back the times of mistakes and all of our ways, God, that you would pour out the Holy Spirit in the last days, that it will pour upon all the flesh, God. I'm not praying for just revival. I'm praying from a place that we would have a repentant mindset, God, that we would embrace the power of God and never abuse it, God, that we would look at revival as the opportunity to awaken the souls, to send them to the earth, then send them out into the earth, and that we would receive a harvest like never before, and a billion soul harvest, God. I'm calling for the harvesters to come forth, God. I'm praying for your prophets. I'm praying for your evangelists. I'm praying for the apostolic to move. I'm praying for your shepherds, God. Lord, let's have a prayer movement like never before. Before there is even an ounce of the outpouring of revival, God, it's intercession and prayer that sickness and illness and sin is removed. It is purged from the leaven. It's purged from the bread, God. I'm just praying, God, that you touch each and every one of your children through this message, God, that you touch each and every ear and mind in heart, God. Lord, you lead us not into temptation, but Lord, you deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, and the glory and the power forever. Amen. Well, guys, I hope that this sound woke you up. It's time to turn our backs on sin. It's time to forsake our evil ways. It's time to walk in the newness that God has given us by the Holy Spirit. It's time for us to reveal our authoritative role in the earth. It's time to unleash our roar. It's time to awaken to revival. It's time to encourage and restore others to be bold and confident again. It's time to ignite a people, activate their lives, and impact the world for Jesus Christ. Be a voice. Join the roar. If you found this message edifying, you want to be able to help sow into this ministry, I'd ask that you consider doing so. It's by those ways that we're able to travel and go places and produce things that we're able to do. No. If you're able to, I'd ask that you would hop on a PayPal. It'd be paypal.me/JesusArm111. You could sow by that way into this ministry. If you want to reach out to this ministry, please message me, BYZEWSKIDANIEL@gmail.com. That's BYZEWSKIDANIEL@gmail.com. If you're interested, April 1st, we're going to be doing something profound. The Lord has been having me work on something for about a 2-year segment, guys. This is huge. This has been introduced on Facebook. We've got people signing up. There's going to be a prayer movement, a personal prayer movement in our house that we're going to be utilizing every day for 30 days. And if you want to sign up, I encourage you to email me or message me. If you guys are listening from Facebook, if you guys are on your phones and you know me personally, you want to get in contact with me, please, I absolutely encourage you to hop on, become a part of this prayer challenge for the next 30 days starting April 1st. And it's targeting the prayer life. We're not only going to be praying for ourselves, praying for our cities, praying for people, but our leaders, our shepherds, the community. We're going to be praying for the legislation. We're going to be praying for the government. We're going to be praying for the world. We're going to be praying for the harvest. We're going to be praying for the harvesters. All of this is unpacked in this book that I have been able to produce and write, and it's called Target Your Prayer, Pray the Word. Yeah. So I just encourage you guys, you know, even if you're not even a part of that, I encourage you guys to really get back to the place of prayer. The Lord is wanting us to watch and pray. Watch the things on the earth, but realize that our prayer has power. And I encourage you guys to reach out to me, man. If you are on social media, Facebook, my name is Daniel Byzewski. I'll spell that BYZEWSKI. I'm all over Facebook. I usually go live about 2 or 3 times a week. If some of you know me as a fitness trainer, you know, we're doing our fitness training at this point because of what's going on in the world. We're actually not even able to move forward the way we want to. But God is making these ways and means to do this, to equip people spiritually. Guys, I'm going to be also releasing a spiritual academy called Roar Academy, and it's basic manuals. You ever hear the scripture how David was trained to make his hands ready for war? God had woke me up 3 years ago, and I asked the Lord how to train my hands and prepare my hands for war. And in that process, I have created over thousands of PDFs, files, products that, you know, ebooks that have made this academy available to people. And what I want to do is raise an awareness for this to reach prisons. Imagine prisoners in prison and there's a manual that comes into their house, into their little subsection, and it's training them in the prophetic, or training them in their faith, training them about the church, training them. All of this would allow me to go from prisons to churches to talk to even colleges, to talk to even people in schools. We want to be able to move in the way of an evangelist and sow the seeds by the thousands into stadiums, into churches, into your colleges, into your even your youth. Guys, this is not just about being online and digital. We want to be boots on the ground. We want to be able to travel and declare the word of the Lord and have something to offer for people so that when they go to the Bible, they're not just looking for chapters. They're looking for the word of God. They don't know how to access the word of God. They're not being taught. They just want a new way. Well, each subject and each introduction, each topic, each session, each phase, each lesson will dig into that Bible and show them reference scriptures and context and discovering hermeneutic laws and how to study the Word of God and how to envelop what it means in context. All of these things, these blueprints that God has given me are absolutely profound, that it will help a generation and rise up a generation to wage war against the enemy and love like lovers laid down for Jesus Christ and burn for the Lord and awake a generation and impact the world. Guys, I want you to know that the Lord is about to bust some things wide open for this ministry. And I'm very thankful for each and every person that has taken the time to sit in and listen. And I pray that the Lord would favor you and bless you. And as you go onto this world and you go into your prayer closets tonight, you reflect upon this word. I love you guys. Till next time, be a voice. Join the roar. Love you.